Missions Emphasis Sunday. As I said, we typically have a speaker here from the mission field or from our World Witness Board. We're not able to do that this year, which I'm thankful. I'd like to speak to our work in missions for just a few moments. And my target here this morning is to give you two perspectives of mission work. And within one of those two perspectives, I hope you find yourself. I rather should say you should find yourself. We should find ourselves. The church, the people of God, are to be on mission. It's rather as simple as that. We have a charge. And we are to be a people on a mission. And so here this morning, I want to give you that and underscore some of the things within it. And then talk about our place as persons within that field, realm of missions. If I were to ask you the question, who was the first missionary recorded in Holy Text that was sent out into the mission field? What would be your answer? I saw it mouthed up here. Join me in Genesis chapter 12, and I'll introduce you to this gentleman who was our first missionary. I underscore the title of the sermon that I've given you today, and I hope you catch the message of the title. The title of the sermon is Go From, comma, Go Therefore. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 4a. The Lord said to Abram, Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him. Now, if you would join me in Matthew 28, just one verse. I mentioned just a few moments ago that we have a charge. A better reference would be to term it a commission. A commission means to empower and to give an objective for a certain conduct of business. And when you finish that commission, you finish your work. Here is our commission as a church. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. Now join me back in Genesis chapter 12. I hope you see where I drew the title of the sermon from. In Genesis chapter 12, God told Abram, go from. In Matthew 28:19, the Lord Jesus Christ told the disciples, go therefore. What is the emphasis of mission work? Thank you. Going. We are on a mission. We are to go. We are to be about a particular commission, a particular business. We are to go. Now, let's look at Abram's opportunity here. His is a little bit of a different nature than what we might refer to as a missions activity. But Abram was told to leave his country of Haran and move into an area which God had promised to be the promised land of his people. Abraham we would refer to as the father of our faith. The Jewish nation refers to him as the father of their people. There are those who will say that Genesis chapter 12 is actually the moving out of Abraham and God calling the people to himself, therefore establishing the church. When we ask the question, when was the church of Jesus Christ established, the church of God started? Well, some would say Acts chapter 2. There are those who would refer to Genesis chapter 12. Because indeed, what is the church? It is the people of God. Here Abram is called to go to that promised land and be that head, and then out of his offspring would come the people of God. Please notice also the promise that Abraham received. This is critical to mission activities, that God would be a part of it. He said, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house. Verse 2, I will make you a great nation. The blessing of God would follow the work of Abram. I will bless you and make your name great. Meaning that the people of God, the people of the nation, the people of the world would know the name Abraham. Because Abraham is such a wonderful individual, pious and esteemed in his world. No, not at all, but because he was God's chosen man. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and him who dishonors, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Thankfully, Abram was obedient. It says in verse 4 that he went. Now, did Abram know where he was going? No, not fully. Did he know what was before him? No, not at all. Did he know God thoroughly? There is a question there as to how much Abram actually knew of God. He had, and see again, I have to be careful here because the text does not give us much at this point in time of Abram's life. Now, as it moves on, Abraham becomes very aware. But there are many who will argue that Abram didn't know a whole lot about God here. He simply heard, felt God move, and was obedient. And the Lord was with him. But I ask the question, was Abram totally obedient? Listen to what God told him to do in verse 1. Go from your country. Leave your country. And from your kindred. And from your father's house. What did Abraham do? He took a small army with him. He took his nephew Lot, his wife, his many cattle, many of his slaves, many of his servants. So was Abram obedient? Lot became a liability. His wife, a distraction. Although, men, I would never encourage going to the mission field without your spouse. But here we see in basic and in premise that Abram was told by the Lord to go, to leave your country, to leave your family, to leave your people, and go do the work of God. That is the most distinct mission field that we know of. When we leave our homes and go to that foreign land, when we talk about mission work, that's what most of us think. And folks, this is where the great challenge of Christianity lies. Are we willing to take on such a charge as this? Just a few moments ago, Derek prayed for Hannah and Justin. They have taken on this mantle where they will leave the comfort of the home. They will leave the comfort of mom and dad and grandparents. The children will be moved away from the grandparents for a period of time. That's incredibly difficult. But they do it because they've received that call. And when you receive that call, it's hard to do otherwise. So we do pray. Is it hard? Is it difficult? Absolutely. Is it easy? It never will be. There are some of you who are seated here that may be hearing that small tug, that small voice. Do you need to be somewhere else? Do you need to be answering God's mission somewhere? And so it's necessary to go from. My family asks me a lot of times, when are you coming back home? When are you moving back home? I said, I'm not. I'm at home now. But Judy and I have talked about this a lot, that we feel like we are on the mission field. Certainly not in a foreign country, but here away from our family. All of our folks are in South Carolina, and we seldom get to see them. And most of them understand, this is my mission. This is my place. I've gone out from my family. I've gone out from my kindred. I've gone out from my father's home and answered the call to the place of which he has for me. Wouldn't change it a bit. But there are a lot of sacrifices in that. Again, I tell you, I ask you, is there that, do you hear that small voice somewhere? Do you hear that wrangling? I know some of you have battled with it over the years. Where, what, how? And some of you are still working with that. The thing I've learned in God's call, when He's ready to make it clear, it'll be clear. Now go with me to the passage in Matthew. On some occasions it's necessary that when we go onto the mission field that we leave. We go out away from all those comforts. We go out away from all of those places that we are so comfortable in. But the passage in Matthew takes us on a little bit of a different turn and broadens the field, broadens the commission of the church into a wider realm. Verse 19 of chapter 28. Go therefore and make disciples. Now this phrase, I know you've heard this before. Go therefore. In the Greek it would be easier to say, or more clear to say, as you are going along your way, make disciples. So if I were to translate that and bring that down so we could get our hands on it, while you are living the life of which you have, while you are conducting the life that you live, while you're busy doing what you're doing, make disciples. Meaning, you don't have to go anywhere. The mission field is right here. The mission field is right here. While you are teaching school, while you are being mother, being grandmother, while you are being Sunday school teacher, elder, conducting a business, keeping the records for others and their business, retired in and about your community, manning the farm, cooking supper, having the conversations with each other out here on the front lawn, where does the mission field stop and where does it start? There's not. This passage very clearly says, wherever we find ourselves, we are to be on mission. So I asked, or I stated in the very beginning that I was going to give you two perspectives of the mission field. Two perspectives. One is you go. The other is you stay. But both is about being a missionary. Which of these perspectives do you fit into? One of them. So does that mean Justin and Hannah are the only missionaries in our church? No. Does that mean that Pastor Tim, as he considers himself a missionary here in this call, along with Justin and Hannah, the only missionaries in our church? No. Every person who calls New Sterling home, every person who calls upon the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, is, by default, a missionary. Every one of us. Every one of us has talents and gifts. Every one of us has a field of operation. Every one of us has a realm of influence. The commission says, go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. Part of that is your responsibility. So now, let's make this application more particular to us. There's a group headed to Belize in March, we hope. Who's going to Belize? Thank you. But all of us in this church are going to Belize. Now, there's 13 right now on the list going, physically. But who's going to Belize? New Sterling. All right. New Sterling, in its funding, in its budgeting process, does not budget mission work of this sort by line item. You look at our budget when it comes out in December, there's not a line item that says, to Belize. We do it through fundraisers. We do it through opportunities for us to write letters, to ask for different funds, to do fundraising, run with the cows types of things. So let me ask the question, whose responsibility is it to raise funds for missions activities if it is New Sterling as a whole going into the mission field? I hope you know, by the way I asked that question, the answer to which I'm searching. It's all of us. Today we're having a poor folks dinner after church to raise money. Who's raising money? The church. We are. Now the Belize team and the missions committee is kind of manning the bowls and the beans and things, but who's going to Belize? When the kids went to West Virginia 2 years back, who went to West Virginia? The kids did personally, but the church. See, we're a body. We're a body. We all belong together. We all have responsibilities, accountabilities to each other. And when we go out in mission, we all go out in mission. When I write my mission support letters, I tell everyone there's three roles to be played in a missions opportunity. They're the goers. They're the senders. Then there's the prayers. Now, you can serve in one or all three of those capacities. We have some beautiful senders here who fund our trips. We have some beautiful prayers here that tell me every day that I'm away, they pray for us. Okay? And then we have our goers. But see, that's the whole church going to the mission field. We are Abraham. We're going out into a foreign field. We are the disciples. We're going outside that door. We're going to the mission field. And so I want us to mature our paradigm when it comes to missions activities. Now, we will commission a mission team to go to Belize. Rightly, I should stand every one of you up here and lay hands on you, because it is the body of Christ going to the mission field. I want us to mature our paradigm. We are a missions-oriented church. Alex Pettit is the new executive director of World Witness. I invited him here this day. But given his new responsibilities and the roles he's taken, you can see why he's not here. But he will be here in January, February, sometime when I can make the arrangements. When I told him, also David Side shared with him, the activities we have as a church and the missions activities and the fundraisers and the work we do, and he was impressed, because not many churches have that level of involvement. Most people see missions work as simply writing a check to World Witness, which is important. But we are a missions church. We are a missions-focused church. Missions simply means sharing the gospel message and the love of Christ. We can do it in a foreign field, or we can do it right here. But hope all of us understand, we are on mission. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this challenge, this charge. Go therefore and make disciples. Share the gospel message so that one would come to know Jesus Christ as Lord. Teach those who have been saved to understand what it means to have the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Teach those as they mature so that they do indeed become disciples. Many responsibilities, many roles, many activities accomplish this commission. Help us as a body to understand we are on mission. When we step out that door, we're missionaries. Help us to live this and grow in this. In Jesus Christ's holy name, amen and amen.